I guess everyone came here to this conference knowing that we're the good guys. And probably in the past 2 days and a half, at least, realized how amazingly good we are. So we thought we'd end this conference by sort of talking about how we can get others to realize how good we are. So this discussion will be about getting academic and professional recognition about excellence in computational statistics or statistical computing without actually talking about what the distinction between the latter two might be. And because it's about academic and professional recognition, we thought we would get sort of people to represent, to voice opinions from both people who are sort of involved in quality measurement process as far as academic qualification is concerned, that is, editors or representatives of the editors of the most prominent journals. We actually contacted more editors, not all of which could make themselves available for today. And we also asked representatives of professional organizations, in our case, sections of the American Statistical Association, to sort of represent a professional point of view. The way this panel discussion will work is I will, after being done with my introductory remarks, I will introduce the panel to you. And then each panelist will sort of give a quick flashlight presentation, in theory about 2 minutes, in practice maybe a bit longer, sort of following a pattern of predefined questions that I sent to these people. And then we will sort of be equipped with this material and knowledge, have another round of questions that I'll be moderating. And then depending on how much time we have left, we can also take questions from the audience at the end, hoping that there's enough time. Introducing the panelists, I of course need to start with the lady. So that's Martina Rittelberg, who has various degrees in statistics from the University of Vienna, has been with the University of Vienna for an incredibly long time before the university decided to demerge its prime asset, the medical college, into Cedric University, which is now the medical university. And unbelievably, she's also been with the editorial board of CSDA for quite some time. And going through the other sort of from first to last, as far as I can see them, Luke Tierney, something that most of you may not know, is actually a trained guy in operations research and has held positions at Carnegie Mellon and later on decided he liked Dakota the better for the better part of his life, so he was in Minnesota for almost 2 decades and then decided that he liked it in a very urban environment, better, so we moved to Iowa. Luke has been at the helm of the Journal of Computational Graphical Statistics for the past 2 years, roughly. Eric Neubert is a mathematician by training who has been with the University of Vienna for a very long time and is known for various specialties such as knowing the outcome of Oscar elections sooner than anyone else. He's also renowned for listening to data instead of looking at them. And he's among the people who believes that one can actually do useful things such as data analysis with spreadsheets. He will speak for computational statistics, the journal called Computational Statistics, not research. Then there's Jan De Leeuw, who has a PhD in mathematics and psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. From the University of Leiden. I'm never going to get the Dutch names right, so anyway. And then has held positions at the University of Leiden and then been with UCLA for quite some time now. He's the founding and acting chair of the Department of Statistics at UCLA. He's also the founding and acting chair and editor of the Journal of Statistical Software. Quite surprisingly, he will also represent this journal on the board. On the panel, I'm sorry. Then there is Tim Hesterberg. Tim has a PhD in stats from Stanford. He then went on to industry, so he was with Pacific Gas and Electric for a couple of years, then went back to academia, holding for about 8 years positions in, I can't read my handwriting, probably Minnesota and then Pennsylvania. And now has been with Insight for 10 years. I'm trying to figure out how we can put some LTS, so probably have a much longer than that. He's the former chair of the statistical computing section of the ASA, and he's also the secretary of the interface division. And last but of course not least, there's Paul, who I also know because Paul has a degree in pressing actual statistics from the University of Oxford. Although we started out almost as a psychologist, so his master's minor was in psychology. Paul is the acting editor of the R newsletter, but it's mainly here because he will speak as the acting chair of the statistical graphics section of the ASA. Okay, and I don't know in which order we'll go through things. Probably let the lady start and then go through the panel. Tina?
Giving me the possibility to present here the CSDA journal, the Journal of Computational Statistics and Data Analysis. This is the official journal for the International Association for Statistical Computing, and it is dedicated to the dissemination of methodological research and applications in the areas of the title of the journal. It is divided into several sections. The first one is named Computational Statistics and Software and Algorithms. It especially handles with the impact of computers on statistical methodology and with the development, evaluation, and validation of statistical software and algorithms. So the term computational statistics can be interpreted in a very broad sense, either by simulation studies, analytical tools, algorithms, and so on. And it is also worth to note that it is possible to include software algorithms and together with test data that they appear embedded in the online article. So if you go to Science Direct, look for an article, and the author has also provided the software algorithm, then you can download it as a multimedia file. It is not required. It's an additional option. The second part is named Statistical Methodology for Data Analysis. As the name says, it handles analysis strategies and statistical methodology. The third one is Special Applications at the interface between statistics and computers. For example, if you have a program to teach statistics, then you also need to deal with the aspects of the computers. And the last section includes book reviews, but also software announcements, announcement about updates, notes, software reviews, but also other interesting items like calendar, news items. And this can be seen at the Statistical Software Newsletter, which is available at the internet site. You can see it here, so that if you go there, you always have a recent and up-to-date information on these items. It's also special issues are prepared regularly by guest editors. I just named these three topics where there are regular special issues, statistical algorithms and software, matrix computations and statistics, machine learning and robust data mining, but also a lot of other items are covered by these special issues. So, this is my last slide now. As the scope of this meeting agrees very well with the scope of the journal, I want to invite you also to submit your manuscripts to the Journal of Computational Statistics and Data Analysis. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm just going to say a few brief words about the section on statistical graphics for the American Statistical Association. From our charter, these are the sort of aims, goals of the section. So fostering understanding, encouraging teaching, dissemination of information, sharing, and sort of cooperating with other people, all that sort of stuff. So I sort of summarise those points. Basically, the way I see it, we're cheerleaders for the area. Okay, and I don't mean that in a sort of a derogatory sense. I think what we're talking about is public relations exercises, getting promotion and that sort of stuff for this sort of work, and so I think cheerleaders are extremely important. So the sorts of things that this section does, there's a newsletter jointly put out with the computing section. I've stolen all your stuff. There are JSM sessions, so organising meetings, organising talks on appropriate topics, so getting the information out there, getting it publicised, and highlighting it. The section has produced, well, mostly Di Cook has produced a set of posters, so people can put these posters up, so they're hanging around departments, everybody's seeing this sort of stuff all the time, so it's in people's thoughts. There's also a committee who are responsible for trying to get people nominated as fellows of the association, so that's getting, you know, demonstrating that the work is important, getting sort of public credit for it. And we also sponsor symposia for the Interface Foundation, so again, that's sort of working with other groups to help promote the general area. Okay, I was asked to sort of make a few comments about the job market. I have a job, so I don't sort of can't say too much about how hard it is to find one at the moment. I'm not really looking. I guess I want to make the point that statistical graphics is, as I've said, I sort of see it as statistics, what statistics is for the rest of science. So everybody needs it, everybody uses it, but few people sort of focus on it. Now, the fact that nobody makes it their primary focus, that's not a problem. That's job security for me. But the fact that, you know, people don't necessarily sort of work hard enough on it themselves is more of an issue. So I think it's obvious that everybody needs to know how to do a graph, but no one's going to sort of write a job description that says you must be able to do a scatter plot. It's just obvious, but it's sort of dismissed almost too much. I just wanted to also point out that though there is at least one person I know of who is doing a job primarily purely as a graphical statistician, essentially, helping people to make their plots. So it can be done. Okay, final sort of thing I was asked to mention is how do people sort of evaluate this sort of work and how should they? And so in my experience, this sort of comes down to being able to provide a number of beans for people to count. So the canonical bean being a journal article, and of course we're in the area where what you're producing is not necessarily a journal article. So how do you provide other beans that look like journal articles? And so a few examples here. Well, it's obviously the citation part, that's a journal article sort of thing, but you can also have software cited if you set it up the right way. The current way of citing R is to cite the manuals of R. That's what we recommend. And another way is if you're trying to get your software evaluated, what sort of things can you do? And so you've got to try and start being a bit more creative and think of other ways to sort of tell people how important it is. And so in my position at university, the sort of things I get asked for are how many times has it been downloaded? Now, I've no idea, but I can sort of provide things that say, well, it's been downloaded at least 10,000 times on this mirror in this month, and that sort of thing. And the concrete number is a great thing. Then people like counting those. And there's, but there's all sorts of other sort of ways in which you can do this sort of stuff. So a few things down the bottom there. I collect bits of information about different translations of stuff into other languages, which is sort of like evidence that it's being used all across the world, that sort of stuff. And of course there's the resort to user testimonials. So you sort of treat it as if, you know, oh, I used this piece of software and I lost £50, sort of a comment, and then you basically you can provide those if, you know, it all helps, I guess. And that's all I have to say about the school graphics section.
Methods and data visualization within statistics. This journal is a jointly owned journal. It's owned by the American Statistical Association, IMS, and the Interface Foundation of North America. The new editor, my term is 2.5 years through a 3-year term, the new editor will be David Van Dyke, and he will be starting to accept new submissions July 1. So I do encourage everybody to think about submitting, but preferably after July 1. The range of articles that we publish include articles on new computational methods or visualization techniques, articles exposing statisticians to neighboring fields, review articles that are these tend to be mostly on an invited basis or where there's a very clear need for a review. Articles on software, that's the only one I've expanded on a little bit here, where they have a relevance beyond a particular piece of software in the sense of either introducing new concepts of algorithms or algorithms, introducing new approaches to software design, or catch-all in other ways, improving our existing knowledge about statistical software. Such papers can be written about most software, but they're not necessarily easy to write. A few notes. JCGS is a print journal that has some pluses and minuses that go with it. It has a level of permanence through its archival within library systems. Being a print journal, it also has a revenue stream, and that brings with it some benefits, such as we have a production-led editor who's excellent at making sure things get into the right format, also doing some copy editing for English, which is useful for non-native English speakers, making the articles easier to understand. The new editor will also have an editorial assistant part-time. These things are made possible. There are also consequences. On the downside, we have a fairly tight page limit of about 1,000 pages a year. We currently publish, it's actually close to 50 articles a year. And as I mentioned later, we're getting about 180 submissions a year, so you can do the division. Another critical limit for us is the cost of color remains very high. And so we have a color budget. Well, our budget limits us to 2 to 3 papers a year, but we always go over it to 4 to 5 a year. But that's not a large fraction. This is alleviated a little bit by the fact that our online version of the journal can include color versions of figures where the print version is grayscale. The copy editor works with authors to make captions adjusted and things of that sort. I'm not at this point clear what will happen when older articles move to JSTOR. I hope that they will remain color, but that's something that's I just don't know. GCGS does have an online repository. It's not terribly well used at the moment. The use that's been made of it has been mostly for the purpose of including longer appendices, so things that could be put in print if there were space for it, but are not. Part of the reason I haven't been encouraging its use is that for a long time the copyright ownership was not clear. Being a print journalist, fairly typical, you sign over copyright to the publisher, but that would be a disaster on software. And the situation is now, I believe, that copyright ownership of online materials remains with the author. But this is, as far as I know, not gotten into writing yet, and I haven't pursued it. It's gotten too bureaucratic. But that's something, hopefully, that will be straightened out a bit. And then there will be a bit more ability to use, more reason maybe to encourage use of this facility. But it is a facility operated by the American Statistical Association for this print journal. As such, the notion is there's no notion of updating. And so whether that is it's certainly from a reproducible research point of view, appropriate to have the snapshot of the software that was used at that time. From a point of view of software distribution, you need to be able to update, and there's no mechanism for that, so that's not the appropriate thing to use. JCGS has been a very successful journal. As I said, it's now up to close to 180 submissions, but that means it's also competitive when you know how many papers we can print. Graphics is still a sore point. We get far too few submissions. If you have good things you'd like to send, please send them in. JCGS does not publish software, just software, whatever that might mean. It publishes papers that can be about software, about issues related to software, not just describing this is what my software is, this is what it does, the ideas behind the software. That's been our focus. Two, three, 4 years ago, Jan will know, a relationship was started between JSS and JCGS that has been described as possibly viewing JSS as the software section of JCGS. Things were never formally quite as clear as they should have been, and now, very appropriately, JSS is a standalone journal of the American Statistical Association. JCGS will continue to publish abstracts of JSS, at least for the foreseeable future. Whether now with a separation we should consider having maybe a software section or not is something I think, well, certainly for the new editorial board to think about. Thank you.
My job is relatively easy because in many cases I can just reiterate what Luke just told, so I'm talking for computational statistics, which at the moment is changing the editor, so Wolfgang Herdl is the head of the old team, and Friedrich Leisch will become the new editor sitting over there. So I'm just a fossil doing the transition. We were asked a few questions, so let's just look at the journal covers computational statistics in a very wide sense, ranging from interesting applications to implementation issues and to algorithmic considerations. So essentially, we don't prove theorems, but the rest is quite interesting. Whatever other things are of concern to the journal. Coded data are not required for publication, but in many cases available from authors' websites. At the moment, there's no central repository, but that's going to change. That will come in the future. There's no special infrastructure for data repositories, code repositories, or whatever, but we will get that. Code and data also are not a mandatory requirement for publication, but in many cases, it's an important thing. So, not mandatory, but if you really need it, put it there and the journal will take care of it. The journal also has a software and new editor, but that's a relatively quiet section recently. So there is no see what happens when 3D takes over. That's all I have to say.
Cisco software is a little bit different from my predecessors because it's electronic, it does just software, and it was not started by either a scientific organization or a commercial publisher. It was started in 1996 for a list of reasons. The first one is good software must not get lost, which often happens, or usually happen at least. Software must be open and free. Writing software brings no academic credits, which is the theme of this gathering, I guess. Statistics software should be language standardized. That's not 100% true, but it's something to strive for. Software should be peer reviewed. Statistics software should be also known outside statistics. And another reason I had at the time was that the Royal Statistical Society just stopped publishing software in their C Applied Statistics series, which was the most prominent place to publish statistical software at the time, so that was creating a gap. And then there were various personal reasons that I won't get into. That's the URL of the journal if you want to see it. So there's no printed version. You have to print everything yourself if you want to have it on paper. The first 10 years were a struggle with various aspects. The first one was that I had to do it myself, but the other parts of the struggle was to get things listed in search engines and various other related visibility tools. So there's the current index of statistics, there's the ISI Web of Science, there's the repository of open access journals, BibTeX database that Nelson Beam does, and there's Scopus. We're now in all those engines with little abstracts and titles and things like that, whatever they have. So that's a good thing, but it takes a long time. The second struggle, which was really major, but if you know about how the ASA worked, that's not a surprise. The GSS had to be acknowledged as an official ASA journal. And the reason why I wanted that was because it, of course, induces respectability. It also makes it possible to, let's say, vest the ISSN and the CODA number in an official organization, which is good. But at the same time, I didn't really want to follow the ASA conventions for other journals, like, for instance, generating revenue, because that's much more difficult within the electronic journal. So it took some time, some negotiations, and the status changed a couple of times along the way. Andreas and I started to instigate this process maybe 6 or 7 years ago, and it was sort of finalized maybe 2 years ago in its final form. So ASN has the ISSN numbers. They're formally the publishers of the journal, and they don't bother me and I don't bother them. And also we wanted contents to be harvestable by OIE, these Dublin Core formats, so that they can easily be entered into more of these visibility tools. This is the publication count. It's not going down because 2006 isn't over yet. And the red line is the R count, or the R slash S count. So that's the number of publications that are dedicated to R. We're currently publishing about 3 volumes a year, where each volume has about somewhere between 8 and 12 publications. So that gets you nicely to 36. The submission rate is only increasing. It's going faster and faster. And the R percentage, of course, seems to be roughly proportional at something like 40 to 50%. I think that's not changing very much either. Every submission to JSS has its own counter. So you can see how many people have downloaded the PDF. We have a standard PDF format that Achim does. And so submissions have to be in LaTeX, no Word. And they then get converted, or hopefully authors already can convert it to the JSS LaTeX format, and they all look exactly the same now, which is good. We get about 50,000 hits per year, 5-year average. The volumes, the individual volumes, of which there are now 16, each have their own little home pages, and they get about 4,000 hits a year. And each issue, which is an article basically, plus the software, gets about 1,000 hits per year on the average. Of course, there are some of them are much more popular than others, so averages are really necessary in this case. And finally, the future. One thing we're going to try to do is to have a lot of area-centered issues. And psycho doesn't mean psycho, it means psychometrics. Socio, politico, economo, chemo, and networks are currently sort of in the works. We should take care not to be just a journal for, what do you call it, our jockeys. We have to also remember that there are associate editors and authors who want to use STATA, STATA, MATLAB, SAS, and SPSS. We're going to update the journal interface using Ruby on Rails and making a nicer database. We're going to make our own editorial system so that authors can look at where their paper is. Who's handling it? Well, not who's handling it, but if it's been sent out for review and things like that. We're going to try to advertise the existence of the journal in various areas. That's what I'm doing now. We're going to coordinate with RNews and JCGS. In a sense, we're between the two. So that's a position that we actually should sort of look at the boundaries of those various journals. We have a couple of sections which have never really come to fruition very well. There's code snippets, which we're starting to publish now, but they were sort of lingering for a long time. There are software reviews, which we haven't done much about either, but that's also potentially available in the database at least. We have to maximize the impact coefficient, and the way to do that is to sort of obviously publish better articles, but also to make sure that we ourselves quote JSS articles wherever possible, because these impact coefficients can be manipulated quite easily, the same as your location in Google can be manipulated quite easily. So there's no reason not to do that, and to make sure that it increases. And the final thing is improve the review process. As I said, the beginning was a struggle to get it off the ground. Not all publications initially had the same uniform high quality, but since the publication rate is going up, we can now afford to be more critical in the review process, and I think generally the quality of the journal has been increasing. So that's my summary.
How can you get credit for your computational statistics work? Okay, well, Kurt's idea was that our distinguished editors would talk about academic credit, Paul and I would talk about everything else. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to start with notes from two other meetings dealing with academic credit for statisticians located in math departments, and there's a surprising amount of parallels between those discussions and what would apply to everyone here. And then some additional thoughts on what Kurt wanted me to talk about. So these are, first of all, notes from a meeting. Okay, from a meeting on isolated statisticians, P people who are statisticians, typically the only statistician located in the math department. So there's a bit of culture shock there. They're the applied people in the more theoretical department. Well, you're the applied people in the statistics departments. Okay, so relationships with mathematicians, there are some MAA guidelines. Those guidelines are now published, though I don't have the URL for those. Could be some useful information there. No, I did. Okay, second, special difficulties for statisticians. Evaluation by mathematicians, okay? Culture shock here. May not understand the differences between your work and the work that other people are doing. Starting a major consulting project takes time. Well, that's certainly true for software. Transition to publication delays long, acceptance rates low. So a lot of this stuff applies to you too. And suggestions, there's a CBM Conference Board for Mathematical Sciences report that discusses things like consulting taking more time. What we need to do is have similar documents that you could all point to that talk about the impacts of writing software. Suggesting that departments write to people for evaluation. So the idea here is, if you want to be evaluated on the basis of programming, what you need to do is get some input from qualified people with good credentials to go into tenure evaluations, promotion evaluations, salary negotiations, and so on. How to get credit for things? Well, for consulting, some of it's unpublished, right? Keep records, and be sure that you keep records so that you can use those to get credit when the time comes. Get letters from people you work with. If you're consulting on grants, be sure that you list it on the grant. Don't accept the statistician as being the second-rate citizen. You put in a major effort on the grant, you want to get credit for it. For grants and places to get information. A grant should count like a peer-reviewed paper and be sure to be listed. Some advantages for statisticians related to mathematicians. Our work is interdisciplinary relevant, okay? Advantages for computational statistics relevant relative to other statisticians is that our work gets used. Second meeting, sort of a follow-up meeting. This is from a meeting at Joint Statistical Meetings. So a few notes, make sure that your research goes to a reviewer outside your college and make it a qualified reviewer, someone who understands programming. Get support from colleagues that you work with. Get support from people that are using your software. Now, an interesting little note is the line at the bottom, the group agreed this kind of conversation is very important and should take place periodically at these meetings. Well, this was from 1999. No similar conversation took place in the intermediate time. I want to thank Kurt for the idea of having this session, of getting credit. I went back, and as a result, I went back and looked, and oh boy, this hadn't been done. Well, it will happen again now the next time. Some additional thoughts. If you're a young person starting off, don't be shy. Try and recruit a mentor. And if you're trying to get tenure or promotion, don't be shy about asking people for support, letters of support. Try and find out who's using your software, ask them to write letters of support. Now, some thoughts on the role of the ASA Stack Computing and Graphics sections. One thing that we do is we offer prizes. We currently offer prizes for the best Student Software, it's the Chambers Award. We also offer a prize for the best contributed paper. We could think about more prizes. In a way, the section is something to support its members. Well, if we offer more prizes for best software, software with the biggest impact, most downloads, and if we, these prizes then would be something that could give you additional credit when it comes time for promotion, tenure, and so on. A mechanism for that, the section is volunteer run. We need volunteers to help out with that. If you're interested in helping with this, talk to me and I'll pass you on to the right people. The section could help recruit willing members, mentors. So if you're someone established and willing to help out with mentoring young people, give me your name. We could also do things like have discussion groups on this topic. What can we do to get credit at the joint statistical meetings, for example? Other societies, European societies, IASC could play similar roles. Our foundation could do things like have download counts and ratings of software. And the thing about those is that if you get a good rating, you mention it when it comes time for trying to get credit. And if you don't get a good rating, you don't mention it. Okay, just a few words about non-academic jobs. Think about it. You go through a PhD program, and the natural path, following the people that you've worked with and admired, is to go into academia, but there are other alternatives. So I spent 3 years in industry working in a kind of internal think tank at an energy company, and I've spent 10 years at a software company. And I've enjoyed all of the work that I've done, the academia and these other jobs. There's a lot of interesting work out there outside of academia. Outside of academia, there's a chance for potentially greater impact. I moved to Insightful because I wanted to turn the research that I had done on resampling methods into software that would be widely usable, rather than just writing more papers. And there can be better working conditions, like better pay. So the research department at Insightful is sort of a mechanism for turning federal grant funding into software that's useful to a lot of people. Congress, U.S. Congress, has a soft spot for small business. We're a small business. So they like to shove some funding that way, we'll take advantage of that, sure. So we do a lot of collaboration with outside people, a lot of collaboration with academics to turn academic software into something that's more widely usable beyond our experts. And there's been a lot of variety in the work. We are externally funded, but the funding that we apply for tends to be easier than the academic funding you may be used to, because of this soft spot that Congress has for small business. Now, question, what's the job market like? It must be really good for people looking for jobs right now, because we've got a couple of positions open, and it's kind of a dream job, and we haven't been getting the quality of applicants that we want to see. So we're looking for good projects, we're looking for collaborators for projects, and we're looking for people. Okay, there's the URLs and some additional thoughts. One, journals and people refereeing articles insist that articles reference the software that gets used, including not only R, but the R packages. Second, the journal should provide some of the numbers that would help people in getting credit, things like download counts and numbers of subscribers, if you would provide those to authors. And then the final suggestions here are go out to lunch now, discuss this, but then don't just forget about it. Sort of have somebody take notes, and then is there someone that would volunteer to collect those notes? If you email them to me, I'll pass them on to Corey. Okay, thank you.
Not too surprisingly, the flashlight presentations have consumed a considerable time slot that we've been allocated. I think there's still plenty of, there should still be plenty of time for questions. Where should I start?
From the beginning.
Oh, hi, this is the panel discussion on... more seriously, we've taken a lot of time. I think we still have enough time to actually talk about a few more things. One thing that I guess most users are wondering about is we've heard that some journals don't look at just software, some journals are interested in just software, but it always seems to be the case that if something is about computational science, it includes at least references to code, either code as code or the usage of code. And I was wondering, are journals actually moving towards sort of including the code that's talked about or the code usage that's talked about in a publication as part of the publication, or is that still outside the article in a way?
Well, you're not asking me, obviously.
No, well, yeah. I'm asking the panel.
Well, I think... I'm here for statistical graphics, but in the section. But I mean, for our news, right? We're in the prime position where we could, if there's S-Weave, we could be publishing S-Weave documents that are just reproducible, the whole lot. You could download your document and.
But even our news currently doesn't do that.
No. So
the question is there a move towards it, or are you just saying we could?
Well, I think we're not doing it because, well, not for a very good reason. I think we should.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about other journals like...
I think for us, as you know, the space is a consideration, and a lot of code, especially if it's well-commented code, would just take up a lot of space. So the thing that we would look for, I think, would be code snippets. So those do appear. Things that are, you know, I'd say that code when it appears would typically be in a figure, so think of it as a one-page figure kind of thing, or an appendix, two or three pages at most. Otherwise, you'd really need to have, just for space reasons, and for continuity of being able to read the paper, you'd need a pointer to another place.
You need the space to be web space, something like that. And is JCGS, for example, moving along these lines? I mean, you were saying there are tremendous difficulties doing that.
JCGS does have a repository that can be used for this purpose,
okay.
And without the ability to update, which has pluses and minuses. As I said, there was a concern I had about copyright that I think is resolved, but I'm not entirely sure.
If there is sort of even only a few lines of code in one of your papers, for example, would that be considered an integral part of the submission? Would it actually be subject to review as well? Or is it more considered an example?
I think it would vary too much by the submission, just as if somebody has a proof and sometimes it'll get read and sometimes it won't. I think that depends very much on the submission, very much like if someone has a proof of the paper, it might be read if it's viewed as the key part, or it might not be.
Yeah.
In JSS, of course, there's a separate entry for the PDF file and for the software. All the software is automatically included, and the software gets reviewed. I mean, it's sometimes asking a lot of the associate editor and the reviewers to actually review the software, especially if it's 10,000 lines. But theoretically, software is treated in the same way as the PDF version, which means it gets peer-reviewed and published completely. And it has a separate counter, so you can also see how many times it's downloaded.
Rich?
How does submission of a grant package count in terms of being able to progress?
Submission to what?
Grant.
Oh. Not? Doesn't count, right? No.
Well, it depends where you are. It depends where you are, who's doing the counting.
Depends how daring you are.
Yeah, I think it succeeded at my institution.
Yes, but now that you're an institutional, at a more local institutional after Boston, what can our foundation do to make grant publication worldwide
accessible?
Would
I
suggest
that
we
would
have one
local level of community size for existence checks? Having a package on CRAN, because it provides some checks, right? That's a huge quantum leap beyond just slapping it on your own website. So it's already doing something, right? Significant. But this other review stuff. Well, it also depends
well, that's
on.
That's not the criteria.
Yeah, it also depends on how you sell it. I mean, part of this is you're trying to sell what you're doing to somebody as significant, and I mean. Right. I mean, several times it's been mentioned the idea of having CRAN have an assessment of packages, right? Something like /dots. You know, people come in and provide, you know, mod packages up or mod them down. And I mean, you know, a public sort of system like that might do it. I mean, it's not something that, I mean, I don't know what's involved in a JSS software review, but I suspect it's a decent amount of work. It's not going to happen for 800 packages. Well, not tomorrow, anyway.
Probably we should ask Jan about the policy that JSS currently has.
Well, it's basically up to the associate editor who adopts the manuscript to make sure that the software review is an integral component. Usually it involves looking at the code and trying it out and see if it does what it actually pretends that it does. It probably doesn't involve looking at pretty printing or quality of the code very much.
Are you actually working towards standardizing that a bit more?
IDs are always welcome, but I think it's going to be hard. It's the same problem with CRAN, of course. You can't substitute our check for and pretend that it's a peer review process. I mean, that's not really the same thing. And increasingly, people are looking at impact factors in many, many, many departments of the journals that you publish in. And again, to make sure that CRAN gets an impact factor is also going to be a very worried job, I think. So that's a big problem, I think, for a software repository to be counted in the academic evaluations.
Software news has mainly been presented in the statistical software newsletters, which is also not on the paper, it's copied then, but it is accessible. If you address the points of impact factor, then it is not important.
No.
Eric?
Well, I just leafed through it, and essentially there's, just to check once again, I think of all the journals here, this is one of the fewest lines of code as part of the publications.
Although it's called computation statistics.
Yeah.
And is that, I mean, we should probably ask Wolfgang Fritz, but yeah. Can you say something? Is there plans to change that?
Well, I hope so.
The reason why I was asking Jan in particular whether there is a sort of a process in terms of standardizing the review process is, in a way, getting recognition for excellence means that there is sort of a common understanding of the community as how to measure excellence in some sort of way, at least as a theory.
Right.
So it's not necessarily, you know, getting something published in a journal, it's actually the underlying thing that sort of reflects a common understanding of a sort of community that there is a common currency to trade in. So my sort of more general question is not necessarily about actual review processes in place, but is there something going on that helps towards developing a common understanding, for example, that could possibly pertain to this community of people here as to what good software actually is, for example? And if not, how can we get something going along these lines?
Well, I agree that would be something which would be very good to have, some sort of standardization, some sort of common idea of what good software is. Presumably independent of the language in which it's written. I'm not exactly sure if that will actually contribute to academic respectability in the short run, because academia is a very conservative place, and to change something such as the review process and the point process takes about 30 years. So they're just developing too fast for the academic process to catch up, I think. And the shortcut is to make sure that you're occurring in as many of these things, such as Web of Science, as possible, and if you're getting as many citations in the Web of Science as possible. Because that's for an increasing number of departments who are also faced with the problem that there's no uniform process. So they revert to these counters for evaluation purposes. So, although it's probably not the most ethical or scientifically satisfying answer, I think counters are a good thing.
Since the mainly requires also to provide along with the software that should be document some test data so that it is possible to assess if it is reproducible. Also, this is required for the CSD.
But only for the online stuff. So for a regular paper in CSD, the data analysis would not necessarily have been reproduced as part of the review process.
You need not supply software or anything else. It's not required, but it's an additional feature.
Just from my point of view, I mean, there's a lot of variability in how one reviews software, but there's a lot of variability in how other papers get reviewed, too, and some are reviewed well, and some, you know. There's probably more, but not that much more. I think the key issue is being able to get something reviewed. There's several levels at which, in the academic world, you have to think about. You have to convince departments that it's right to sort of think about putting someone up for tenure. You have to then get reviewers who will value the software, and then you have to make a case to the university level. And there's sort of different things that are needed at different levels, and a lot depends on the institution. The university or the college level can be easier, perhaps, if you're in a very big college where the committees are used to evaluating mathematicians and dancers, because they're just used to diversity. Harder in a more narrowly defined college. Peer review is a critically important factor, I think, being able to say that something is peer reviewed. I think people are, in a receptive department and a reasonably flexible university, I think we're close to the point where you can consider a CRAN submission that's gone through some level of vetting and it is in a place that is recognized as a publication similar to the typical proceedings in statistics, which are unrefereed and therefore don't count for very much in many cases.
There was another question back there.
Which then lists the four or five papers and how people can actually cite it correctly. And on the GUI interface, we've actually got under help menu the word citations, and then they get a printout of the similar information. I'm just wondering whether there could be a standard way, a standard function that's recognised that which displays citation information, whether it's just the author information or whether it's if there are papers backing it up. This is the citation. Is there a standard way that this happens? The standard function, perhaps called citation, and if they're GUI interface, always put something in the help menu, perhaps which is
But the thing you're looking for is different from the function called citation.
What I'm trying to do is to have a standard way of the user
it is not
finding different. Out.
Oh, yeah. There. There is a function called citation, which I'm not sure probably exactly does what you're asking for. And I guess it was added for exactly the purpose that you're talking about. The novel aspect that I can grasp is this idea of if there's a GUI, then it could probably also go into the pull-down menu, and I'm not sure if that is already there.
And the users need to be encouraged through the documentation.
Yeah, that's a very important point. And actually, for example, one of the things that we've been trying to say is that the fact that you put something on CRAN actually means that there is something like a URI attached to the packet, so there is something you can cite, and you can access that using citation, at least. Yes, Rich?
In this regard to your semester, in the ESD manuals, it says right on the front cover, when you use our work, please copy the following sentence. And I think more than the company default,
It's been a fact, plus with an answer for about 10 years now, so, I mean, yeah.
Can I have another follow-up on that?
Oh, yes.
Be aware, the MDB doesn't exist anymore.
And you're saying...
So. And so, there was lots of this discussion that we were about citing individual contributions to art. Art itself is an effective endeavor for which the people who are also need credit. So, it's also encouraging to cite art.
Sure how much this actually helps for the people who are sort of subsets of our core team or whoever can cite it. I have a question specifically to Jan, but actually to the panel. You said the amount of R-related things was about 50%.
Yes.
The stuff that you're getting. Do you consider that a blessing or a curse?
I consider it a blessing, yeah. Because one of the purposes that I had was trying to standardized the way statistical software was written, and R is the obvious vehicle, R and S are the obvious vehicle to do that. So I think it's, the fact that I think that is sort of obvious if you look at the composition of the editorial board, because there's a considerable overlap with R core and the editorial board of the Journal of Statistical Software. So I've been working in that direction, and of course it didn't pick up initially. Initially there was about 40% probably was XLISP.
I was wondering what the rest of the panel thought. Is it a good thing that a lot of sort of academia is now moving towards using R for their purposes, whereas on the other hand, for example, professional institutions are being sponsored by commercial entities that would rather prefer people using different products?
Well, it's the same. John Kimmel doesn't think it's a bad thing that there's more and more art being distributed, and for the same reasons. It's it's a unifying theme. You can start a series and use that as a basis. So, I don't know what the other thing.
They're probably not sure what to say now.
No, because there's not much software in their journals.
That's probably true. Mm-hmm. Tim,
I'll chip in. I do have a vested interest here that the more software written in the ES language, from my point of view, the better. But that said, I think software written in the ES language is going to be accessible to a lot more people than software written in a lot of other languages. And so more accessible, easier to use, will have a bigger impact, so I think that's positive.
So speaking, for example, on behalf of the ASA section on system computing, you think that's a good thing, whereas probably the ASA with, I don't know, some commercial introduces their Diamond or whatever partners would probably think it's a bad thing? Is this what you're saying?
Well, the ASA would never take a position on something like this. So I'm speaking personally
let me rephrase my question. I was not asking about officially taking position, but is there sort of tension that is felt, or is everyone happy in some sense?
I haven't felt tension in that sense.
Oh, really? Okay.
What I do try is to sometimes include one of the more esoteric packages, like SciView or MathCat, just to indicate that it's there. But you never will get many submissions, obviously, in those packages. But, I mean, it should be presented as an option, at least.
But you're mostly doing it to be on the safe side.
Yeah.
Now, if everyone feels happy about the fact that R is there, and we all know it's sort of open source in a way, journals, on the other hand, who seem to be the prime measurement systems for measuring academic performance or academic quality are typically sort of closed access. I know, Jan, you're probably out of this question now. What does the panel think about this obvious tension between sort of using closed access journals to publish about open source software? Is that a non-issue?
Seems to be.
Within journals, there's so many variations. I was just trying to remember what IMS's position is on making articles available electronically. The ASA is very narrow. It's very hard to get electronic access. And there even, we'll talk about it. But I think IMS has been broader.
Definitely.
But there still is the issue of these ASPRINT journals, they have this, there are real costs. And there are some costs. You can argue about loaded offices and things like that. But you know, if you're going to do certain things, you need funding, and so you need the revenue stream, and there's balancing acts there. The only options for open source, completely open journals, are purely electronic, and they have pluses and they have minuses.
I've always been wondering about the business model there. It seems to me that many of these papers actually don't really mesh well with the traditional framework of just printing them. So, in a way, a paper dealing with computational science, if whether it is about software or data analysis or both, sort of encompasses more than just the printed version of whatever it is. So I was wondering why journals wouldn't be sort of strategically or more proactively moving towards redefining the notion of a paper on computational science. Sort of also alongside acknowledging the fact that putting something on the web mostly doesn't incur cost or distribution cost at least. And then, for example, if the ASA wanted to offer services to the members that would be print services, then those would be delivered to members on a per cost basis.
And just from my narrow perspective, one of the single biggest benefits I think JCGS derives from going through a commercial entity is the fact that we have a really good production editor whose job it is to get things into shape and to work in the English and things like that. And if you have no revenue stream, you can't pay somebody to do it. It's more, either it doesn't get done or it's more work for some volunteer. And
Well, we have a very good production editor who is a volunteer. And basically, if you stick to you require LaTeX, you use only PDF to actually publish in, it's not going to look much worse, and in many cases better than some of the printed journals. So I don't think that's an advantage, except for the fact that Achim has to do the work.
Well, yeah, but you know, polishing up the English, for example, polishing up the English might be a valid sort of avenue.
Yeah, although I firmly believe that the language of science, the lingua franca, is bad English. So.
Yeah, I was about to say that actually it would be better to have the, you know, put the money on improving the R side rather than the English side.
But yes, I don't think that.
I might be slightly biased on that point as well.
Have you looked at some?
Okay. It's about. Yes. Sure. Revising the publication after it was published.
You could turn this into a feature, right? You have an article of 0.1. Two years later, you have an article 0.2.
Well, the way JSS solves it is we have an update directory for every submission, which means that you can... I mean, the original version, the one that actually was peer-reviewed, remains sort of the official version, but there's an update directory where you can both update the paper and the software. And it shows up, if you look at one of the JSS volumes, you'll see paper software updates, if there are any updates. So that's the mechanism. And it's sort of a compromise between the fact that you want to emphasize the peer-reviewedness and thus the static, and you also want to have the opportunity to update, especially the software.
If there's a substantial amount of effort that went into developing the update, and we're talking about getting credit for work that goes in, there really is a need for another round of peer reviewing, whether that should be handled as a new submission that's the new version, or in some way connected to the old one. I'm not quite sure the right way to do that.
Yeah.
Either one. From various points of view.
Right. That's where the two models sort of don't really correspond.
So we would also need to start working on measuring the amount of update that went in, like, to eventually probably get more credentials for producing major updates opposed to minor updates.
Just think about it. I mean, there are many methodologies. You develop it for this scenario, and then the next paper is a slight extension, the next paper is a whatever. I mean, that's the way a lot of work works. We have to do that in software as well.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing happens, and you know, it makes 2, 3, 4 papers.
But then wouldn't you typically also start factoring out the software and sort of in the RSpeak, for example, have an infrastructure package of different application packages and try and get credit for the individual packages.
I would actually, I like that idea. I mean, it's sort of resubmit the paper after a couple of years as an independent submission. It's in the electronic journal anyway. We don't have a page limit. It's also the case in the electronic journals that the last volume gets about 10 times as many hits as the volume before that, so it pays off to resubmit in that sense.
But you'd rather have it a new thing.
Yeah, or maybe a separate section, similar as we have book reviews, software reviews, updates.
Duncan?
Addition to a package?
Yeah, a package possibly in publishing JSS 4 or possibly ahead. But my contribution is this little bit of this thing. If that's something you could review.
As a code snippet, perhaps? If it comes in a certain format and it's interesting enough, we would like to have it. We're here to serve.
If there are no more questions from the audience for the time being, I have one more final question for Paul. If I write an article for our news, do I get any credentials for that?
Sorry?
If I write an article for the our newsletter, does that help me professionally?
It depends on who your boss is, I guess. This is an issue that I have in my place, and one of the issues. The problem is how credible is that publication? What sort of status does it have? And we at our news think that there's a quite a few articles that have appeared there that are definitely worth being treated as a genuine publication. So what happens in my department is I write a CV for something or other, and my head of department looks at it and says, "Can you please change the name of our news to something that doesn't sort of sound like a newsletter? And it would be worse if we called it the R comic book or something or other, but it." Our news isn't such a good thing, so we're going to look at some ways of. I mean, it's a cosmetic thing, but it's, you know, people are basically asking you to play a game and sort of provide them with beans to count. So we're providing them with as big a bean as we possibly can. So we're thinking about doing things like sort of maybe changing the name of Our News to the Our Journal. It would make my head of department happy if we did something like that. It doesn't change anything really, but
how about the wiki?
Sorry?
The wiki.
Yeah, right.
All right. I think we're actually a bit over time. I would like to thank the panelists for the good answers and the presentations and the audience for the good questions. However, stay on for a few more minutes as Achim is about to give. Yeah, as Achim is about to make the closing statements. Next slide.
Okay, thanks a lot for staying so long, and I think Kurt just broke his own record in running late and being on overtime. For those of you who have been here for the last 2 hours. So I will try to be very short and just give a few concluding remarks. So for this was the second time the our user community met here in Vienna. And we were very pleased with how many of you came around to visit us this time. So we had about 400 participants from all over the world, including many CRAN package authors, 14 of the R Core team members. We had almost 160 presentations, including 8 keynote lectures and 12 pre-conference tutorials, which was all certainly much more than we expected when we announced doing a second use R conference 2 years ago. So we hope you have enjoyed the conference, learned something, and go home equipped with many new ideas and contacts. So before looking into the future, I would like to take a short look back. And this is a graphic for the 5 R-related conferences we had here in Vienna, starting from the DSC in 1999 up to the USAR, where we are still here. And this graphic compares the size of R itself and the size of its user community. So the size of R is measured in megabytes of the base distribution. This is the black curve. And the size of the user community is the number of participants who came around to Vienna for these conferences, which is the red line. And both have been standardized to start in the same point here. And as you can see, R was a bit moving and growing a bit bigger, a bit quicker than the user community, but the users certainly caught up and overtook. And so it will be interesting where we're going from here in the coming years. So, before saying something about the future, I would like to thank a couple of people, especially, of course, the users who made this conference what it is, in particular the R Core team, and also those people who were on the program committee for this conference, and particularly our sponsors, who you can see at the bottom of the slide. Some special thanks go to Andrea Seiler for managing our back office and managing the registrations, and Teresa Schaal, who was taking care of the submissions of the slides. And we're particularly indebted to the Vienna University of Economics and Business Administration, particularly the facility management and the computing department for providing all the infrastructure and making this possible. And I'm particularly grateful to all our student helpers, which I would like to ask to stand up. There are not all of them here anymore, but there are a couple of people sitting up there, a few down here. So these were... who were really incredibly motivated and tried to help where they could, giving technical support in the lectures and also being available at the registration. So thanks a lot to you guys. So then, a word about the future. We plan to meet again, and the plans are to meet next year and have a North American meeting, and in 2 years again back in Europe. More details about that will hopefully be circulated soon on mailing lists. So, thanks a lot for coming around, thanks a lot for staying so long, goodbye and have a safe day.